I want to hit on some things real fast and just to drive on some things for us to think about this Christmas as we're having time with our families, just to keep that focus. And let me just say again, this has always been said, Merry Christmas to all of you. And it's so great to see all of you here this morning. And I want you to think about the gift that got Christmas going, the gift that started it all. And we're gonna read it from the most famous verse, I guess, in all of God's Word, and that's John 3:16. I mean, just everybody knows that, right? And so it is, God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Now, here's a truism. This is in your Life Point outline. Let me give you a truism about love, and it is this. You can give without loving, but you cannot love without giving. And I want you to understand that the whole picture here of Jesus coming here is because God was giving to us. And God gave because he loves us. And so the thing that God wants you to feel this morning as a family, what God wants me to sense inside of me above everything else is, I love you. And I love you so much that I wanted you to be with me forever, and that's why I sent my son Jesus. Now, I want you to follow the logic of the Bible, all right? Romans chapter 8, verse 32. Now, just listen. Since God did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, in other words, he sent him, he died on the cross for us, then can we not expect that with him, God will freely give us all his gifts? So here's what God is saying. If he loves you and me enough to send Jesus Christ to come and die on the cross for us, then what he's saying is, do you not understand that I love you enough that I'm going to take care of all your other needs? God said, do you understand? I want to be a God who takes care of you. I want to be the God who helps you pay your bills when you're struggling. I want to be the God who helps you with your health. I want to be the God who helps you with your relationships and all the challenges in life. I know sometimes we'll get a gift at Christmas, and maybe you've had one of those gifts where it's a gift inside of a gift inside of a gift inside of a gift, and you just keep opening them, all right? Jesus is like that. That's what God is wanting you to understand. When you get the big gift, when you get Jesus, there are other gifts that come with him that God wants you to have, but you get them in him. And so look at the truth in your outline. All of God's gifts to me and you are wrapped up in Jesus. And so that's what, let me just give you three right quick, all right? Number one, when I take Jesus, when you take Jesus as your Savior, you get a new identity. And I just start with this because I don't know if there's anything that's any more blessed than this. All of us have got a concept this morning of who we are. And what I mean by that is how you see yourself, what you think about yourself. But I want you to think about something. Where you get your personal identity is hugely important, because you can get your identity of who you are from the wrong source. Usually, we'll get it from something like work. You know, who are you? Well, I'm a truck driver. I'm a doctor. I'm a nurse. You know, whatever. Or we get it from relationships. Who am I? I'm a dad. Or I'm a mom. I'm a boss. That's who I am. Or we get it from things like where we live, the house that we have, the car that we drive, the clubs that we belong to. Let me give us a word of advice. I just want you to think about this. Never base your identity, who you are, how you view yourself, on something you can lose. All the time, spouses will wrap themselves up and get their personal identity from their spouse, husband, or wife. But a lot of times what happens is that spouse may die and the other one may live 10, 15, 20, 30 years after that. Where's their identity? For many people, it's lost. You can lose your job. You can lose your health. You can lose your good looks. Maybe you've been checking that out on the mirror lately. You know, a lot of guys in high school built their identity on their athletic ability. You know, they were known as jocks, and they kind of got that swagger, kind of got that going, you know, because of who they were and everything. Now, 20 years later, they're not jocks, they're jokes. You know, that's all. it's just not there anymore. You know, something happened and it's not there. But here's the thing. God says, I want you to have an identity that you cannot lose. And the only way you get an identity you cannot lose is you come to God for it. God says, I want to give you an identity that will never change. 2 Corinthians 5:17. When someone accepts Christ, in other words, you accept the big gift, he or she becomes a brand new person inside. When I get Jesus, something changes inside of me at my core. I am changed at my core. He is not the same anymore. A new life has begun. It's what Jesus was talking about in John chapter 3 when he was talking about being born again. Do you know what being born again is? Listen, it is not about turning over a new leaf. When I become a Christian, I don't turn over a new leaf. It's not the old me just trying something different. When I'm really born again, it's a new me. I am starting a new life. It's like a mulligan in golf. You get to start over again. You get to do that one again. But here's what I want you to understand. Being a new person in Jesus does not mean that you're perfect. It doesn't mean you never sin. It doesn't mean you never struggle. It just means you're not identified by your sin. At my core, I'm different. I'm not the same. But my body hasn't changed. So all the sin tendencies are still there. I still struggle. But I may struggle with, you know, being unfaithful. I may be struggling with an addiction. Or I may be struggling as someone with same-sex attraction or a transgender or a liar or a fornicator or a thief. Those things are still with me because they're in my body. That's what the Bible says. So here's the truth, and you look in your outline. A huge mistake once you're in Christ is to let your failures and faults define you. That's why I envision here on the hill, and this is what we're praying and working toward, that we will have a functioning Celebrate Recovery here at Harmony Hill. Now at AA, and I am not dissing them at all, they do a great work, but let me show you a difference between AA and Celebrate Recovery. In Alcoholics Anonymous meeting, your sin and your failure can identify you. It's like they stand up and say, if I was there, say, hello, my name is John, and I'm an alcoholic. Or I'm an addict, or, you know, I'm an embezzler, you know, whatever. But that is saying I'm getting my primary identity from my greatest weakness. Now, in Celebrate Recovery, I would say something different. I would say, hello, my name is John. I am a child of God who struggles with alcohol, who struggles with lying, who struggles with same-sex attraction, who struggles with transgender confusion. Now, there is enormous difference between those two statements. Would you agree with that? I mean, it is worlds apart. It's totally different. And in Christ, I am not my weakness. I am not my sin. That I am different at my core. So in Christ, I'm not a sinner who ever now and then acts like a saint. I am a saint who ever now and then acts like a sinner. That's what it means to be born again. You become a new person. And the new you is a work of God in you the moment that you accept Jesus Christ and he moves inside. Now, the ceremony where we identify that we're new men and women is called baptism. And in baptism, I am saying to the world, I'm a new person. And I am put under the water, and that's a picture of the old me dying and being buried. And then the new me coming up out of the water, a new person to live a new life. I still make mistakes. I still sin at times. But fundamentally, at my core, I'm not what I used to be. God has made me into something different. And if you've never been baptized or you've not been baptized by immersion, we're going to be baptizing soon after the first of the year. And we would love to help you walk in obedience to Christ. And you can take one of those connect cards there in front of you, put your name on it and how we can contact you. We would love to contact you and help you follow through on identifying yourself with the Lord Jesus. And so in Christ, I get a new identity. But number two, I get a new ability. A new ability. The power to change. I can be different. Now, here's what I want you to understand. Maybe we'll write this down somewhere. Life change doesn't come by willpower. You don't change your life by willpower. You change it by the power of God, the Holy Spirit, working in us. Romans 5, verse 5. God has poured out his love in our hearts by means of the Holy Spirit, who is God's gift to us. Look at the truth in your outline. The Holy Spirit of God is the power of God in us to live a changed life. He is God's second gift of Christmas. You get Jesus first, then you get the Holy Spirit of God who moves in. Listen to Philippians 2:13. Now God works in you, giving you, now listen, both the desire and the ability to fulfill God's plan for your life. You see, you know what my problem is? Outside of the Lord Jesus, I know what I need to do. I know what is the right thing to do. I just don't have the power to pull it off. And I keep messing up. I keep failing. And I think most, if not all of us, have experienced failure in one form or another. That's how we are all alike. And some of us have failed so badly that we just quit trying. And maybe that's you this morning. And you keep trying for something at Christmas. You want something that'll just give you some joy and excitement. That's what I'm talking about. When you really get Christ, it just changes your life. And it is about him. Look at the insight in your outline. There is a difference between willpower and God's power. When we try to change on our own, we get tired and we give up and we quit. That's the nature of the beast. But look at the next truth. Succeeding in life is not about you trying. It is about you trusting the power of the Holy Spirit of God living in you. That's what God wants you to know. And the last truth in your outline is this. A changed life is lived by the grace of God in the person of the Holy Spirit of God, giving the strength that only comes from God one day at a time. God says, I want to make you new from the inside out. And then I want to give you the power to change what needs to change in your life. And you get that when the Holy Spirit comes to live inside. And then lastly, God says, you and I need a new family. In Christ, I get a new identity, I get a new ability, and I get a new family. Now, I want you to listen for just a moment. You cannot do life alone. You can't. Marriages are struggling. People are struggling, quitting jobs when they shouldn't and getting themselves into financial messes, walking out of relationships. Why? Because we try to do life alone. And God says you need a spiritual family to support you. You need people who are connected to God all around you. Ephesians 1, verse 4, because of his love, God's unchanging plan has always been, now listen, to adopt us into his own family by bringing us to himself through Jesus Christ. Now listen, you're not automatically in God's family. I get into God's family, you do the same way. We do it through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. But look at the insight in your outline. God doesn't want you to just believe in Jesus. He wants you to belong to his family because all of us need support. Nobody asked me whether or not I wanted to be part of the human race. Mom and Dad make that decision for me. But we will never be in God's family outside of a personal decision on our part. What is his family? 1 Timothy 3:15. That family is the church of the living God. Now listen, what is this place here? We are not a business. We don't do things in a business fashion. We are not an organization. This is not a club. It is a spiritual family. It is a family. And God designed the church to be a family. Now listen, where we love each other, we support each other, and we care for each other. And the Bible says, 1 Timothy 3:15, that family is the church of the living God, the support and the foundation of the truth. And look at the truth in your outline. Each of you needs support and a foundation for your life. There's not a person here that doesn't apply to. Now, some of you do not have a church home. You're who I'm talking to. Some of you are guests here this morning. You've got a church home other places. I'm excited for you. I'm not trying to get you to change at all. But if you don't have a church home, I want you to listen as I close. For almost 20 years now, I've been here 44, but for almost 20 years now, We have been building a community of love called Harmony Hill Baptist Church. At times we call it just the Hill. And I say for the last 20 years because that's how long we've been doing life groups here. I don't want Harmony Hill to be remembered or to be known in town for our size. That's not what we're after. I don't want us to be known for, oh, they got great buildings over there. Have you seen what they built over there? No, no, no. That's not what we're about. And it's really not about the music, and it's not about the preaching, because all those things can change, and they go up and down. But here's the thing. I want Harmony Hill to be known for the love and the support to the family that makes her up. That's what I want us to be known for. Just this past week, I went to the hospitals. Some of our people were going to be having surgery. And it also happens when I go to homes where maybe someone has died. And now, I seldom ever get to the hospital or go into a home without there already being a crowd of varying sizes that's already there. You know who it is? It's their life group. That life group is there to support them, to be with them. And I went to the hospital this week, and I prayed for somebody that was going in for surgery, and then I left. Why? You know, we don't really need you, Pastor. Got this covered. That's great. That's exactly what it's about. We're going to take care of them. We're going to be there for them. And the truth is, every one of us needs support to make it through the crisis that we're going to go through in 2017. In Jesus Christ, you get three things: a new you, a new ability, and a new family. Acts 10:35. It makes no difference who you are or where you're from. If you want God and you're ready to do as He says, the door is open. I want you to bow your heads for just a minute. Would you just quietly and reverently in your own heart? If this is your desire, that you want to make Jesus the Lord and the Savior of your life, then I want to ask you just to pray with me, all right? Just to pray along with me. Dear God, thank you for the Christmas gift of yourself. Thank you for Jesus. Thank you for coming to die for my sins. I invite you into my life, and I will follow you and obey you more and more as you help me. God, make me a new man or a new woman. I invite the Holy Spirit to come and live inside of me and give me the power to live like I should. And I want to thank you for the home in heaven. Thank you for loving me. And thank you for helping me trust you more and more. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.